1323.
I promise I will not judge any person only as a teenager.
A youth perspective on national current affairs. Domestic Violence Prevention Week was recently held in Queensland from May the 7th to the 13th.
Today, 1323 looks at domestic violence prevention from a youth perspective.
On May the 10th, the Department of Families, Youth and Community Care presented 5 awards as part of the 4th Annual Domestic Violence Prevention Awards.
Open your eyes, time to wake up. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough.
1323 caught up with 2 of the recipients and asked them about their projects. First up, Adele from Young Mothers for Young Women.
Young Mothers for Young Women is a peer support education advocacy network, and it basically began about 7 years ago now when a group of 12 young women who began parenting while they were still teenagers got together and did a participatory action research project which looked at the links between gender and violence in the lives of young mothers. And one of the major recommendations that came out of that research was to develop a peer network for young women, because it was found that that's where young women who are in domestic violence situations most turn to. So it's just really grown from then. Most obvious way that we do that is we run a drop-in day every Tuesday, and it's similar to a play group, only it's limited to people under 25. On the Tuesdays we do things like have other people come in to do education workshops such as family planning, to talk about sexual health, all different things like that. Last year we ran a 12-month project looking at educating young women about healthy relationships in an effort to combat some sort of domestic violence. We did some really informal research about how young women want to hear about domestic violence, and basically we ran some workshops on domestic violence and no one turned up, and we started to think that young women don't want to hear about domestic violence, or they won't come to something titled about domestic violence. So throughout the workshop we just talk about healthy relationships and what does a healthy relationship look like. A lot of young women say that they just don't know what it looks like. Their parents didn't have a healthy relationship. You don't see healthy relationships on television all too often. And so unless you know what it looks like, it's a little hard to get it and then even maintain it. Towards the end of the workshop, we do a little bit of education on that violence isn't just physical, it's emotional and financial and all those sort of things, because we found if you spoke of violence, young women only pictured physical or sexual abuse, whereas they didn't realise that the financial and emotional stuff is abuse as well. So hopefully we've been able to educate some women about what violence is, but then also to look at how to maintain a healthy relationship. We've just started to focus lately on celebrating relationships, because all of the young women that come to the drop-in day, they all have at least one relationship in their life that's healthy and worth celebrating, but because their relationship with their partner may not be so good and may not be worth celebrating, they tend to get bogged down in the negative aspects of that. Whereas we're saying to them, well, look, you've got this wonderful, healthy relationship with your child. Let's celebrate that. And if we can celebrate that, maybe we can take those characteristics and they can go into intimate relationships.
Do you think that starting a family young, and the stereotype of the single mother and the you don't know what you're doing, you're too young, puts pressure on people to stay in relationships that might not necessarily be healthy?
Definitely. It was actually one of the things that came out of the original research. We call it the pixie photo trap. When you begin parenting young, you get a lot of flack anyhow. So it's very important that you maintain that picture of a perfectly happy family. I mean, it seems to me, and the research seemed to show, that that is so much more important to young women, to present that pixie photo. And that also influences young women to getting help if there's violence in their house, because not only do they not want to leave, but they don't want to get help because that's admitting that their photo isn't perfect. Your educational employment opportunities are much lower once you've had a child so early. So for a lot of women, it's their only option to be someone is their family. And a lot of young women just don't want to leave violent relationships, and we started to find that a lot of domestic violence services will only assist and support a young woman or a woman if she is prepared to leave the violent relationship. Whereas we sort of think, well, let's give young women the skills and hopefully they can take that home and their partner can take some of those skills on and they can create that relationship together.
A change gonna come my way. Black woman, black light, domestic violence, borderline. A change gonna come my way. He come home almost every night, then he started having fights.
Glenn Robertson from Fernie Hill State School.
Each year, our Year 7 teachers do a unit of work in English called Songs of Social Comment. And they do a certain number of areas. They do songs to do with war, songs to do with the environment, social injustices, etc. And one workshop that I normally go in and run with each of the Year 7 classes is on domestic violence. And what it involves is we listen to a number of songs written about the topic, contemporary type music, and we talk about each one. Well, we normally start off with Tracy Chapman, Behind the Wall, and that's a really chilling song that has no background music, and it's a song that really helps to explain to the kids about the act, and we can talk about law, etc., and that and how it is against the law. We get all the information from the domestic violence unit. We then do a second song, I've Got to Go Now by Tony Childs, and that's a really good song because it brings in the aspect of alcoholism. And we talk about that with the students and how that's a big effect within domestic violence. We do a third song, Luca, by Susan Vega. It talks about denial. And we normally finish off with Babyface and Stevie Wonder, who sing a song called How Come, How Long. And it's really good. We actually have the film clip from that one. And it's an excellent song. And it's very visual. And the kids really get a lot out of it as well. And then they write their own song at the end. We've had kids come and talk to us afterwards about some personal issues. I think it's a type of workshop that would be particularly good, you know, to run through like all schools. We've been doing it here now for 4 years. We can get the message to one or two kids a year, we're happy.
During the week, we also spoke to Julia and Betty from Zigzag Young Women's Resource Centre in Brisbane and asked them about providing support for young survivors of domestic violence.
Often young women report that when they go to general shelters, they're not feeling comfortable, particularly when they do have children of their own, and they may be feeling uncomfortable with their parenting skills, you know, housed in such close proximity with other women who have children. It's important to consider what their specific housing needs are.
I guess in terms of just coming to the service or having access to the service, it's also about their need for flexibility. And I guess the other thing is just about the environment, you know, a comfortable environment where they feel safe. And that's quite often different to what generic services or generalist services provide, that they often feel that the space that's creative, that's, you know, got posters all over the wall, that kind of thing, is also important to them.
I think also that it's important to consider that young women are disadvantaged doubly. Socioeconomically, they're, you know, more inclined to be living in poverty because of their gender, but also because of their age, that they're more likely to be sole parents and the primary child carers. They're more likely to be in part-time work. And so therefore, when young women are fleeing domestic violence situations and trying to get safe, secure, affordable housing, all of those things impact on their success in fleeing the situation. Often young women are more likely to stay in a violent situation.
Mm. And it's not that older women don't tend to stay in situations of domestic violence, that's also very true. But I guess it's also very hard for them because of the lack of support out there in trying to flee that situation, that they often don't have the support of their families because the mother's also experiencing domestic violence, so they're also doubly at a disadvantage because they don't have that support from their parents either.
He beats me so hard, so often I don't remember my natural skin colour.
Cameron Boyd, also from Brisbane, is part of a project called Boys Rave, Resisting Abuse and Violence for Equality, which offers support to boys aged between 11 and 14 who have experienced violence at home.
Well, really we'll be looking at whatever topics or issues the young men in the groups think are important to talk about. Like, the way I see it is they have knowledge, they're experts in having lived through violence at home, and for them to share information with each other about how they survive that, how they resist the effects of that violence in their lives and things that they try to do to maintain close relationships with both other people in their family and their friends as well. All the groups, or most of the groups anyway, will be run by a male and a female facilitators. Part of the idea about that is just to sort of talk about other ways that men and women can relate to each other respectfully. And also talking about responsibility for violence. A lot of young people feel that if their father is being violent at home, it must be something that they've done that's caused the violence, or there's something that their mother's done that's caused the violence. So I guess we'll be being really clear and, you know, thinking through with the young men that it's actually responsibility for the violence lies with the perpetrator of the violence. And I guess particularly or generally for boys, often try and stand in the way of their father being violent, like might physically stand in front of their mother to stop their father hitting them, or might feel some kind of responsibility to try and stop that violence. And I mean, that's, you know, it's important that people do try and keep themselves safe, and certainly would be encouraging people to think of ways that they can keep themselves and their family safe.
So is it kind of based on the idea that young people who are exposed to domestic violence, when they get older, they'll perpetrate that kind of violence?
I guess that's one of the tricky issues for me. I'm really interested in challenging that a bit, I suppose. From my experience, a lot of young men that live with violence at home actually really take a really strong stand against violence as well. I don't think that it's only young men that live with violence at home that are encouraged to use violence in their own lives. Like, if you look around in our wider culture, everywhere young men are really encouraged and their violence is condoned, I suppose. And so I'm really interested in the ways that young men actually stand against that idea that men generally are violent. I guess in the community there is that real assumption that a boy that grows up with a violent dad or a violent stepdad will be violent.
That attitude, do you think it can lead to things like alienation?
Yeah, I think it can be a bit confusing for boys. I mean, especially in the age group I'm working with, 10 to 14, a lot of times haven't done anything wrong and there's no sign that they have used violence or will use violence. So for people to be working with them and approaching them with an implicit understanding, even if they don't say it, but it's the back of their mind that they're working with this young person with the belief that they're going to grow up to be violent, it's just, among other things, a bit unfair. It might also be a bit self-fulfilling as well, like if someone's constantly told that they're going to grow up to be violent, just like their father. I'm really interested in talking with the boys in the groups and the young men in the groups about, you know, whether that actually contributes to them seeing themselves as being violent.
So my message is from boys to men, but it ain't coolie and it ain't harmony when you talk about male supremacy. You don't have to be like them growing up in a clan. Refuse to be a man.
That's it for this week's show. If you know of any domestic violence prevention programs for young people in your area, please get in touch.
Next week, we'll be playing part of the Youth Inc. documentary series from an episode looking at young disadvantaged people and their experiences and solutions against violence in the home.
Today you've heard music from Ruby Hunter, Isis, Child Man and Acid World.
1323 is produced by Lucas Moore and Heather Anderson in the studios of 4ZZZ Brisbane for ComradeSat and receives funding from the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
Contributions are welcome. Write to PO Box 509, Fortitude Valley, 4006, Queensland, fax 07-3252-1950, phone 07-3252-1555, email heather at 4ZZZFM.org.au.
1323.